Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into 10 Dynasty trades for Dynasty Trade Thursday here. So Alan Lazard and a third for O.J. Howard. How might the mighty have fallen? I think at this point, just give me the pick. I don't really know what the out is on O.J. Howard. I guess it's 2022 free agency. Give me the liquidity before then. I could probably acquire a share in a different way that doesn't require me to give up a pick at this point. So again, if it was, I'd prefer it to be a running back than Lazard, but that would be the pivot that I would make in this deal. But that's kind of your O.J. Howard market. All right, Brady for Kyle Trask in a second next year and in a second in 2023. I think it's perfectly fine, this deal. I think Brady at this point, it's a lot of upside. Like, he's a top five projection of Football Guys. I mean, that's pretty valuable. And I in a startup draft that I'll go through at some point here in the near future, I took him and paired him with Mahomes under the, you know, and I've accumulated some future assets to try to a little bit of a two-way go again. And it's a, if I get a couple of top six finishes out of those guys, like, it could be something. So be pretty interesting there. I think it's perfectly appropriate and fair. Again, if you're looking to rebuild, I get it. I totally get it. If you're not going to compete in the next couple of years, I understand what you're doing here. Getting a couple seconds, that's fine. I'm not sure Trask would be the target player, but again, he's probably not valued super high in this deal. So, I get it from both sides. Josh Allen for Justin Herbert and James Robinson. I think this moves you from the, you have some questions about Herbert. You know, I did that in the Chargers passing game review, so you can go check that back out if you haven't already. And I have some questions, some regression stuff for him that I expect to come. I don't quite have those same regression concerns for Josh Allen, and as a result, I think I'd take the Josh Allen side. So, and Josh Allen, you know, we know more. One of the things that we'll come to find out in the 2022 edition of the Analytics of Dynasty, the difference between a one hit and a two and a multi hit guy is pretty massive. So, that's going to be one of those cases here for Allen. James Robinson and Noah Fant for Elijah Moore and Rondale Moore. This one's interesting. I think it largely depends on how you look at, you know, and this was no tight end premium as well. I think this largely depends on how you see James Robinson and Rondale Moore. I think broadly speaking, Elijah Moore and Fant are close enough. And then you're sort of looking at the other aspects of it. It would sort of be how I'd initially look at this deal. And I think in start one, no premium, tight end's a little bit more replaceable. I hesitate to go as far as going to these two wide receivers in terms of assets to have, just because that's not how I really build out my teams. But I actually see this from both sides. You know, if you're sort of in on Elijah Moore, being him as a rising guy in value, I understand that aspect for sure. And I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure what your overall out is on James Robinson, other than him being like a glorified injury away guy. So I get this deal from both sides. You know, I'd probably tinker with it and maybe see if I can get a running back on the Elijah Moore side that was similar to Rondale Moore. Would sort of be my thought. But I think that's a pretty fair trade. I think it's an interesting one for sure. Josh Allen, Cole Kmet in a 2022 first for Justin Fields, Antonio Gibson, and Irv Smith. I think the consensus here would say that Irv Smith's much more likely to be a difference maker than Kmet. I think they're probably closer than that. You know, I don't probably think that they're that far away, especially in warp. Yeah, if you sort of think maybe a couple of tenths here or there, that's fine. You know, so let's put them in the close enough category. Then you look at Fields to Gibson, Fields and Gibson to Allen in the first. I mean, it's clearly Allen in the first. I mean, that's, to me, it's clearly Allen in the first. I think the difference between, you know, Fields to Allen is probably close to Gibson. So if you were to sort of do that in picks. So yeah, give me Allen. You're getting like a top five asset. When you get a top five asset and a future first, that side, I'm not gonna say it always wins, but it's gonna win a lot. So I think that's an easy one to live by. Darnell Mooney, LaVisca Chenault in a second for Brevin Jordan and a future first. I'm assuming Brevin Jordan isn't held in particularly high esteem in this trade. And so this begs the question of, and I'd love to know a little bit more about this first. Is this one where you're really hunting a top like three pick? Because if that's true, I get this deal. If you're going from like a standard second to a first, like I wonder if you have to pay this much. Maybe you do. Maybe Chenault doesn't do this for you. I think if it's a pick, like you feel, you know, I usually say it's a coin flip to make the playoffs. If you feel that it's, you know, really, really feel that it's strong not to make the playoffs, you can put it at like a 75% shot not to make the playoffs, I'd take the first. Mahomes and Ronald Jones for Lawrence Gibson and a future second. This is a similar one to the Fields Gibson one. This is actually an interesting contract. Just happened again. Give me Mahomes. Mac Jones, Nelson Aguilar for Kellen Mond, Jamal Williams, Jalen Reagor, Dawson Knox. This is an interesting one in terms of you've got a lot of things going on. I think the primary piece in this, I guess, is Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones is a discount version of Burrow. For all the questions that we have about Mac Jones, we have a lot of the same questions about Burrow in terms of you have an elite offense, you have elite weapons, you're not necessarily an overt physical talent, and you have a huge college season that's really a one-hit wonder type scenario, and then you go, and Burrow goes one. I'm not sure if he goes one in this class. I don't know. I'd be interested to re-go through that. I'm not sure. But, you know, what would Mac Jones do last year? I think that's maybe an even better question. If Mac Jones was in the class last year, would he have gone one? I think that's a reasonable possibility. So I do treat Mac Jones for a lot of reasons a little bit more like a first round top 10 quarterback. I don't maybe put him all the way there, but I think I go closer to that than, you know, him being the 15th pick. And the reason for that, and I've talked about this in prior iterations, is the fifth quarterback in a class, when you go at 15, like that's a top 10 quarterback in almost any other year. So I understand that it's not the number. Same reason I treat Fields as a top 10 quarterback, even though he went 11th. You know, and that, you know, these, if I were to sort of move the number around a little bit, it wouldn't, if I put the number at 15, you know, it needs to be a top 15 quarterback. The odds would look pretty close to what they look now, right? So I do think it's, you got to kind of be careful about firm, hard lines. So I tend to put Mac Jones closer to that top 10 than I otherwise maybe would do in a normal year. Like the EJ Manuel year, I think that's a clear one where like that's not a top 10 quarterback because he goes like 15 or 16 and there was no quarterbacks taken ahead of him. So you kind of know like, no, like he's not a top 10 quarterback. Whereas with Mac Jones, there was just so much more demand. There's so much more supply for guys and it just didn't really meet the demand. So so that's one that I think it's really interesting how you structure that thought. If you see Mac Jones as being like a, you know, a long-term starter, paying Reagor, Knox, Kellen Mond, and Jamal Williams isn't a lot. If you kind of look at him and say, hey, he's an Andy Dalton version, how do you value that? And is anyone really outproduced that on the other side? I think that's an interesting one, for sure. And honestly, I don't think Aguilar is an insignificant part of this. You could, like, there's a non-zero chance that Aguilar is better than Reagor is. So I think that's an interesting one. And you could ultimately say, like, in 2 years, let's go out 2 years. You could be sitting here August 10th of 2023, which would be 2 years from when I'm actually recording this. Mac Jones might be the only one still being super relevant. I don't think that's an unreasonable outcome here. So that'd probably be my angle on taking Mac Jones in this, even though it doesn't feel like super, super luscious. I think he's going to be the one in this that probably has the greatest chance to go up in valuation to pivot to a more elite asset. Jimmy G and Jameis Winston for a second and a third next year. I'm in the hunt for quarterbacks. This is a really interesting one because you're basically, like, you should get this for Jameis Winston, I think. So this is essentially like Jimmy Garoppolo for free, I think. So give me the quarterbacks. I really like doing that. I think that's a really, really good way to just throw a volume at the position. You're not doing it with a core asset, and you got the opportunity to potentially get a core asset at the quarterback position. I love that. Trey Lance and Deontay Johnson and Mixon for Tua, CeeDee Lamb, and a first. Yeah, this one's interesting. I think Lance clearly over Tua at this point. Then I think, you know, CeeDee is clearly over Deontay Johnson at this point. You know, I think that Mixon's slightly more valuable than the first. I think this trade probably comes down to a couple of things. Like, if you're high on Tua and you still think Tua's an elite quarterback, I think the Tua side's the winner. If you're not, I think that you've got a lot of outs on the other aspect, right? You've got the out that, you know, CeeDee Lamb might not necessarily be all the way up to snuff. You know, that Mixon could have a really good year, which I think is possible. Deontay Johnson's, there's a non-zero chance that Deontay Johnson's better than CeeDee Lamb in terms of some of the stuff that he did last year. And I think he left a lot on the table. Like, you could see that totally come around this year. I think in this one, like, you're getting the, with Lance, like, I kind of like what I've seen in camp. So I think you're getting an elite asset there. I think it's interesting. I think it largely comes down to how you feel about Tua versus Lance. Like, that would sort of be the thought. If you took out I just think another way to take this look at the difference here, just go Deontay Johnson and Joe Mixon for CeeDee Lamb in a first. I think you're probably taking the CeeDee Lamb in a first side. So how much? But I don't think it's super, super unreasonable. You know, if you value Mixon a little bit more than a first, you know, it's a gap, I think, between CeeDee Lamb and Deontay Johnson, but I don't think it's enormous. And if you think the gap's big between Lance and Tua, it's not that big of a price to pay. So I hate giving up future first, but that would sort of be my angle on it and sort of how I would analyze it. This isn't one that I can really tell you how to feel. It's more of how you feel about Tua. I think ultimately I'd probably take the Lance side on this, but this probably wouldn't be how I'd construct a deal. I would be searching for a court. If I was doing the other deal, like, I'd be searching for someone that I'd try and get a quarterback that I felt more confident in terms of, like, can you make in this deal, can you make Russell Wilson Lance? Like, can that be the quarterback there? Because I don't think that's an unreasonable difference in valuation, and that would make me feel like warm and fuzzies instead of feeling, you know, so. Well, that's the 10 trades for the week there. We will do the trade rundown here. Most traded guys over the past 7 days include Cam Akers, DJ Shark, Odell Beckham Jr., seeing a positive bump in value, I think, with some of the reports coming out of camp. So that might be a place where you want to explore. Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson, Jerry Jeudy, Antonio Gibson, Darnell Mooney, Melvin Gordon, Julio, Cortland Sutton, Jalen Reagor, Chris Carson, Daryl Henderson's still up there as well, but it's leveled off a little bit. So those are the guys over the past 14 days that are up at the most. Cam Akers still the highest over the last 14 days. The last group I said was the last 7 days. This is the last 14 days. Cam Akers, Daryl Henderson, Michael Thomas. Those markets have settled down a little bit. Darnell Mooney, Odell Beckham Jr., Mike Davis, Jalen Reagor, Jeudy, Gordon, Chase, Claypool. So those numbers are familiar. And then, of course, over the last 30 days, it's been Akers and Henderson and Michael Thomas. After that, it's been Reagor. Mike Davis still up there. Interesting. Lots of volume on him. Juju, Darnell Mooney, Julio Jones. That's interesting with the injury. Chase Claypool. Damian Harris is a name that's of note. So I think that's an interesting one if you're looking to pivot. Chase Edmonds as well. Henry Ruggs and Josh Jacobs. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode of Dynasty Trades. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.